Good morning, good morning. I just want to say this real quick. There's someone watching by internet. You're supposed to be here right now. Right now. Right now. I can name him if he is. Hallelujah. You know, this right here, you're the brave crowd. Because if God has you here this morning, you're the brave crowd. Because, see, there's something in my heart that not everybody's ready to hear. Okay? But it's all about all those people on the internet that are watching. Because it can't be about you guys, because you're here. You're already too holy for this. Hallelujah. Matthew 6:10 tells us that to let it be done in earth as it is in heaven. Remember, we finished up last week when Tina was sharing about the change. We finished up last week because I shared that scripture because to me, that summed up what she was saying. Because see, there's a change because when we're doing life in our own strength, that has nothing to do with heaven. It has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. But when we're doing life the way God asks us to do life, when we're celebrating the kingdom of God in our life, now all of a sudden it looks like heaven has come to earth. Heaven is touching earth. Heaven is being revealed through these earth suits that we wear. This is something that when we begin to understand the purpose of God, then heaven gets released into this earth. The Father took us and He saved us, according to Colossians. He saved us out of the darkness, Colossians 1:13. He saved us out of the darkness. Why? So that He could bring us into the kingdom of His Son. And when He brings us into the kingdom of His Son, then there's a moment, there's an opportunity for us to put on Christ in that moment. There's an opportunity for us to begin to let things look a little different in our life. And most of the time when we get saved, we get busy with changing a few things, the few things that we can see that happen real quick. But after that, we quit wanting to see. Hello. Did I speak to anybody? I know it's all about the people on live stream, right? There's nobody in here. Just the people on live stream. See, I told you live streamers you were supposed to be here, right? Okay. Go with me to 1 Corinthians. But while we're turning to 1 Corinthians, I'm just going to read Romans 5 and 2. So by whom we have also obtained our introduction or our access by faith into this grace. By faith into this grace. So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 6. We have our access by faith. When we live by faith, then that's what opens up the door for us to come into the Father. In this change, what we're recognizing is an opportunity to seek change rather than an experience. Because when we seek change, when we allow change to happen, then the experience and the emotions will follow. But if we just seek an experience or we just seek an emotion, we're not likely to change. So the emphasis is to seek the change, to allow God to do something in us, and to have a recognition that as we approach Him, He will change things in our heart. He will change things in our life. He will change things in our circumstance because it's His nature. It's not because He doesn't love you the way you are, but He loves you enough He won't leave you the way you are. He loves you enough to keep drawing you to the next place. To keep bringing you to the next place. To keep bringing you a little higher. To bring you into a little more of His image. Because see, it's in His image that we get to reflect His glory. He has a purpose in his heart to bring many sons, many daughters to glory. It's his job, it's his design to bring us to glory. But that means we have to change into his image. And when we're seeking that change into his image, now we can begin to reflect him in a brand new way. Hallelujah. If you haven't read 1 Corinthians 6 in a while, there's a lot of awesome stuff here in 1 Corinthians 6. But let me focus on verse 19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price, and therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which is God's. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's. In other words, you are not your own is the thing that he's trying to convey to us. We have to begin to recognize we're not our own. When we recognize we're not our own, that means that that's going to dictate certain changes, certain different responses in our life. If I'm just about me, I'm just going to be selfish. Why? Because what you have is me, is mine. What I have is mine. It's just like when two children are in the nursery, you see what happens when there's no spirit involved. They may be cute as all get out, but you know, when there's one toy and two kids, you're going to see what the old man does. Because sooner or later, somebody's going to say, it's mine. And sooner or later, somebody's going to walk up to the other one and just jerk it out of their hand. And if the other one's bigger, the other one's going to come back and clobber him. That's what the old man does. And the thing is, the things that we learned in nursery, unfortunately, are the things we keep doing all of our life. Oh, I didn't say that. That was... Because without the Spirit... That's the natural way of the old man. That's the natural way of the old man. Ephesians 4 tells us that we're to put off the old man, but we're not finished when we're putting off the old man. We're also to put on the new. It takes both sides to make a full equation. If we just take off the old man, well, we've stripped ourselves from the old things, but in the same process, we haven't gained who we're supposed to be. That's an awkward place to be. Sometimes that's a miserable place to be. I can remember when I was first saved that I was in the process of taking off the old man. I had not yet discovered how to put on the new man. And I would be in a conversation with somebody, and all of a sudden I would realize in the middle of that conversation that I didn't believe those things anymore. So I just stopped and walked away. I didn't know what else to say because I didn't know what I believed yet. I didn't know what faith was doing. I just felt the operation of faith in me, but I didn't know what the resolve of that was going to be. But see, when God is doing it, when you're doing it by the Spirit, it becomes a beautiful thing. When you're putting on Christ, it becomes a beautiful thing. That's the message here, is that when we're not our own, that means we can still be somebody because we become his. We become his. And in the process of becoming his, there's an awakening to new things. There's an awakening to new possibilities. There's an awakening to a new authority. There's an awakening to a new principle. There's an awakening to a new identity. Those things are all happening in us when we choose to put on the new man. When we put on a new man, that means the old man and its jealousies go away. Last Sunday, I shared during the offering in the second service that there was a time when LaRue would have a certain person come up and preach. That's all good. Except that for me, the issue was the things that he was preaching were the things that I had given him. And I wasn't given an opportunity to preach. He was taking what I gave him, and he was coming up here and releasing it to the congregation, and everybody was falling all over him and loving on him because of the revelation he was releasing, and it was mine. It's mine. It's mine. Don't you understand? See, but that's because I was living for me. In that instance, my whole emphasis was on me. And I'm sharing this because why it allows us to see things a little differently. Is it a little raw? Absolutely. But the thing is, I want us to all be on the same page, because if I'm just living for me, if we're all just, I'm going to put all of you in the same basket. If we're all on the internet just living for me, there's no unity in that. There's no wholeness in that. And as long as that was part of my character, as long as that was part of my identity, then I could not release others to become who they're supposed to be. Had I stayed in that place, I never could have come alongside and had Tina come alongside. This thing that happens here could not happen as long as I held on to that identity. Had I stayed in that place, then Carlos would never have been invited to come up here and just share. And then that becomes something where Carlos gets released and the three amigos all of a sudden get released out of all of that. Those things could not have happened had we stayed in this identity that would not allow me to release somebody else because of jealousy or competition. See, when God is unlocking things in us, it's not only unlocking us, it unlocks everybody around you. I want us all to be about unlocking the ones around us. Because if we're all working on unlocking the ones around us, that means that we're going to unlock some things in us too. God is looking to do something in us. Sorry if I'm spitting it over the front row. Myself. So God is looking to unlock each and every one of us. But we need to be in agreement with that process. Because if we're not in agreement with that process, it's not happening. When I allowed the Lord to change me concerning my son, it unlocked those around me. Why? Because as I began to, as we shared with, let me just, I guess I need to give a little context to that statement. When I began to realize that Aaron was causing me to have to respond to him in a certain way, he was deliberately provoking me to get an angry response out of me so that it would set something in his head in order. It would make him feel better. Because why? Because it satisfied a need for a chemical in his brain that was released in that process. So he would deliberately provoke me until I responded. And when I finally realized he's doing this on purpose just to fix his head, I became determined that I'm not letting that happen anymore. Not because I didn't want to fix his head, but because I don't need to let somebody deliberately provoke me. I have to be in charge of my response. And if I'm in charge of my response, then that means he will have to find a new way to deal with his need. And see, that was the beginning. So when we actually went through it, and then he finally began to respond to me in a different way, when he came into my room and apologized for his behavior, I was flabbergasted. I wasn't even sure he was my kid. Because that hadn't happened. But see, we began to form a new relationship brought by a new determination. In the same way in your life, you're going to have, as you begin to respond to the circumstance around you in a different way, there's a new determination that will set others free to be who they are. There's a purpose that God is stirring in your heart. When we make a determination to see the world around us God's way, to respond not just out of my emotion, not out of the need of the moment, but to respond out of the place of eternity. When we respond out of eternity, holiness, righteousness, peace, joy, everything about the kingdom of God gets released. When that gets released, the multiplication of heaven is released. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. Lots and lots of scripture, more scripture than I need to be reading up here. But this is good stuff, so we're going to get onto that, and then I want to share some more. I see something this morning that I see your pain. I see something greater than your pain. I see freedom. I see a place of victory, a place where faith is actually realized. And the victory that comes with faith, the access that comes with faith, is realized. But it means we can't respond by our emotions anymore. It means we can't respond out of the old man anymore. It's time to let the old man die. Because see, if we don't let the old man die, your pain just continues. And is it difficult to let the old man die? I can testify that it is. But if we don't conquer it, our pain continues. But if we conquer it, then the pain was a momentary pain. It's like pulling the Band-Aid off, and then it's done. You don't have to relive that place anymore. Lord, help me to get through. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us. That's not the control that's ungodly. That means he holds us. He draws us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. In other words, in that sacrifice that he made, everything you had need of was already paid. And he died for all that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again. No longer live for themselves, but live for him who died and rose again. See, what I'm recognizing is that we spend a lot of time resurrecting the dead man. We spend a lot of time defending the dead man. I've had several, over the years, many counseling sessions where there's marital issues going on. And that's almost always because people are busy defending the dead man. They're defending something that was already supposed to be dead. They're saying they're a Christian, and they're walking in something that was nothing but the dead man. And I don't know how to say it any easier. But I know the pain. I see the pain. I feel the pain of it. But at the same time, I know the solution is not to do more of that. The solution is not to respond to those things. And I'm thankful that it's not you guys in this congregation, but just the people on live stream. But the solution is to put on Christ. And as hard as that might be some days, when we put on Christ, the result is going to look very different. Verse 17, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things passed away, and behold, new things have come. Namely, verse 19, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting the trespasses against him. He has committed us to the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for him. When we begin to change our outlook, when we begin to look at the world around us, and we begin to choose to put on Christ and to live for Christ, then we become a true ambassador. Because, see, an ambassador is not representing himself. An ambassador is representing the thing that he represents. An ambassador is representing the country he represents. In this case, an ambassador is representing the person of Christ. When I'm not focused on representing self, now I can be focused on putting on Christ. See, I put off the old, and then I begin to put on the new. I heard something recently from a gentleman named Roy Geeson, I believe it's his last name. But I really like what this young man has to say. But he said, most of the time, forgiveness is taught in a selfish way. And you think, well, that's kind of difficult. Well, no, not really. Because, see, what we focus on when we're speaking about forgiveness is the benefit of forgiveness. Me forgiving you is ultimately to benefit me. And there's truth in that it will benefit you. There's a great release in that it will benefit you. When I begin to forgive you and release you, now then truly I can receive a benefit out of that. But that shouldn't be my only focus. If my focus becomes to represent Christ, to be an ambassador for Christ, now me forgiving you means that I'm leaving you a testimony of the Father's goodness. I'm giving you a testimony of who Father God is. When the gentleman stole my company from me, and the Lord, and I went to the Lord, and he said, I want you to be closed to the shut of this as quickly as possible. I want you to leave a testimony to him of the Father's love, and that the Father's love is more important than the money. I walked away from a whole lot of money in that action. Because why? Because the Father wanted to express himself to this person and leave a testimony that he, an unbeliever, was more important than all that money. It's the Father's desire to be seen in the earth through you. But see, if I make my worth all about me, there's no way that I'm doing that. There's no way that I'm walking away from all that money. It's going to be a fight until the death. But when we follow the Father's heart, there's a release that happens. There's a release that happens that brings a multiplication. And you know what? The things that if I had been trying to hold on to those things would have all gone away anyway. But you know what? I've found since then point in time in my life, I've found that the Lord is here and he's for me and he's blessing me and he's releasing me. He's multiplying me in ways I could not even imagine in that moment when I decided that, Lord, I'm going to do what you say. And I'm going to release this man. I'm going to walk away. I think this is a practice run. Because all you are already sanctified and holy in here, and you've already got this down. So I'm just practicing for the live stream's sake. Hallelujah. If I forgive out of the heart of the Father for the one who didn't deserve it, I'm doing what Jesus did. Jesus forgave us. He forgave us, and when we had no right to ask. He forgave us when we had no place to ask from. He forgave us when we were in the most of our lost state, the worst place we might have ever been in our life, and He still chose to forgive us, knowing that we would hurt Him yet again. And so many times I hear what I hear when I'm counseling is like, but I've got rights. Not if you're a dead man. Didn't expect to get any amens. And I was right. But if I'm a dead man, I don't have any rights anymore. If I'm a dead man, I don't need any rights anymore. All I need to do is put on Christ and do what Christ says to do. And when I put on Christ and do what Christ says to do, I'm no longer responsible for the result. I just walk in obedience. And if I'm walking in obedience, then God is free to bring the multiplication into the scene. He's free to do whatever is necessary. He's free to make the adjustment. And you know what? Sometimes that adjustment might be in me. I know, don't look at me. So disappointed. Sometimes that adjustment, people are shielding their eyes now. Sometimes the adjustment is in me, but you know, sometimes the adjustment's in my situation. I had a man that came in, it was the most amazing thing. He came in and we in a sozo, we started at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and went till like 6 in the evening. And his biggest issue was the guy who was a salesman in his territory. Basically, they had Houston divided up into two territories, east of 45 and west of 45. This gentleman represented west of 45. But the guy who represented east of 45 was calling the boss and telling all kinds of lies about what he was doing and not doing. So the guy in Dallas only gets these reports that are coming from guy in the east. And John, the guy in the west, I don't remember what his real name was, but John, the guy in the west, you know, sometimes he'd have to go somewhere, and when he was out of town, then the guy in the east would come, and as he was working with his clients, John's clients, he would sabotage them, which cost him money, cost him integrity, ultimately cost the company money. But John decided he would forgive. Now, we release forgiveness and embrace the process of God and really embrace the process. And then he didn't want to in his natural self because everything in his natural self wanted to hang on and be mad. But when he released it and he let go, then all of a sudden God was able to do something in the spirit because what he did is he shifted an atmosphere because he came alongside God's intention. When he came alongside it, suddenly it became done in earth as it is in heaven. And when it was done in earth as it is in heaven, there was a heavenly response because the next morning he gets a call at about 10 o'clock where the guy in the east said, I've already called the boss in Dallas and I've told him all those things that I said were lies. And I'm committing to you now that whenever I have to come over into your territory, that I'm going to do right by your customers now. Nothing had been said. He didn't know that John had spent 2 hours forgiving him and working through all those things. He didn't know anything, but he was gripped by a conviction that came by the Spirit, because when we begin to act in accordance with what God has, he can go to work for us in the Spirit and release some multiplication we had no idea was there. But see, John wasn't making it about himself. He was making it about the other guy's health. The other guy's, because he was releasing blessing over the guy in the east. He was releasing blessing over his company by the time we finished this thing. He was realizing this thing is bigger than me. It's bigger than my emotion. It's bigger than my feelings. It's bigger than anything that I have. God has an eternal destiny he wants to release, and he began engaging it. That's what I'm talking about by engaging heaven. When we're in a... how to say this without, help me, Tina. When we're in marital disharmony, how's it nice? Is that the nicest way I can say? I think that's close. When we're in marital disharmony, we're creating disruptions in the Spirit. When we're creating disruptions in the Spirit, we're not walking according to God's perfect plan for that situation. We're responding. What we're doing is we're defending and sometimes resurrecting a dead man. So much harm is done when we come back and just pull up the dead man. Say, it's time. It's time for you to walk around here. There was a movie called Weekend at Bernie's. For those who remember it, then that shows your age. So, The Wayback Machine. So anyway, in Weekend at Bernie's, the whole plot was these two young men get invited out to their boss's place in the Hamptons. It's a really nice place and all that. But when they get there, he's already dead. But there's this big weekend planned, a big, huge party that's planned. And so they just kind of keep propping him up and putting him in different places and making everybody think that he's still alive. So they throw out the whole weekend. Why? Because they want to continue having a party. They want to continue enjoying the good life that they had the potential to do had Bernie been there. And there's a lot of other subplots that are around it. But the thing is that, you know, that's why we keep resurrecting the dead man, because we think there's something good back there. I can tell you, my dead man, there was nothing good back there. My mom was here, she could tell you, there wasn't nothing good back there. Kim could, but I'm not giving her the mic. Yeah, we don't have that much time. There's nothing good. Let's not resurrect a dead man. When I'm in marital disharmony, if I'll focus on the eternity, if I'm not just focused on myself, if I'm begin to focus on the purpose of God for my family, if I'm focused on the purpose of God for the situation, I can release something new into the atmosphere that never existed before. And it brings about multiplication. It brings about change. You can't control someone else's heart. You shouldn't even just strive to control someone else's heart. But we should very for sure control our own responses and allow the Spirit of God to move through us in everything that we're doing. And when we make that our goal, and our success is not by whether or not our partner responds to that, but our success is by whether or not we're walking in obedience to what Father is releasing. Now we Now we've done, now we've entered into atmosphere-changing authority. When we release that atmosphere-changing authority, anything can happen. But we have to do it by putting on the new man. We can't do it by resurrecting the dead man over and over and over. That's not going to achieve anything. It didn't work the first time. Why do you think it's going to work at the thousandth time? I know. I told you you were the brave crowd. Am I right? I told you this is really about just the people on the internet. This live stream. Glory to God. I'm so glad I'm in a sanctified house. Romans 13. Let me wrap this up with Romans 13 because I want to get some good news into your heart. This is all good news. Believe me, it's all good news. And I understand it's not easy to walk in some people's shoes. I understand I'm asking you to do something that goes against your flesh, but if you'll let the flesh die, then it quits affecting you over and over and over. If you let the flesh die, it no longer has control over you, and when it no longer has control over you, the enemy no longer has control. Suddenly, you don't have to respond to every whim of the enemy any longer. Because why? Because you're in alignment with Christ. Does it come natural? No. But it comes intentional. It comes when we walk in faith. When we use our faith to engage the purpose of Spirit. When we use our faith to engage the will of God, then the grace of God is released. I've heard it said that, well, I'm not an emotional robot. That's one of the arguments that people give me. I'm not expecting anybody to be an emotional robot. I'm expecting us to engage the purpose of Christ, the heart of Christ. Because if my focus is no longer about my emotion, if my focus is about the heart of Christ, now I can engage something that's bigger than me. Now I have a place for faith to land. Now I have created a landing strip for faith to cause something in my life that couldn't have existed before. And no longer do I have to be a victim of what has happened in the past or what's happening in the moment. What I have found is that if I will achieve that moment, even if somebody is screaming in my face, if I will step into a place of faith and intercession for them, there's power released that I can't even comprehend. Am I speaking to anybody? I know, just people on the internet. Hallelujah. Romans 13, verse 12, the night is almost gone and the day is at hand. Let us therefore lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. When we begin to purposely cast off the work of darkness, then that is means that that leaves us clear at that moment to begin assimilating light. Coming into an alignment with the light. I may not even know what the light contains yet. I don't have to know what the light contains yet. All I have to do is have a purpose to step into the light, because if I purpose to step into the light, I'm not likely to do something that's going to be exposed by the light. If my purpose is to live holy before God in all things, hey, welcome back from China. If my purpose is to live before God, live in the light. I don't come into agreement with darkness anymore. Think about your last interface with somebody that was unpleasant. If Jesus is standing next to you, do you do that? Yeah. I didn't think so either. Here's a quick one for you to think about. Is it the sin that sets you away from God? Or is it your conscience? It's ultimately your conscience, because the price for your sin was already paid. So now I just have to deal with my conscience. Now I have to realize God has already paid the price also for me to be free of an evil conscience. Now I'm giving away all my stuff in one message. I don't know why I'm going to preach next week. Tina, you going to preach next week? You'll be in Detroit. You can preach. We can put you on by live stream. We'll just put you over to live stream. From live stream, you can preach to live stream. Verse 13. Let us behave properly as in the day, not carousing in drunkenness, and not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy. Ooh, I talked about those already. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lust or its desire. In other words, we make no provision for the flesh. Its desire is those emotional things, those emotional pullings. You know, the old, and I always use this as an example, but anger for me was that big one. It was so easy for me to go there. Why? Because at one point in time in my life, I had learned through my experience that when I would go into a rage, I got what I wanted. So see, flesh and self only wants to promote more self. It always wants to get what it wants. And as long as I kept allowing that, as long as I kept believing that, it was going to keep surfacing over and over. It wasn't until I chose to allow God to heal that area of my belief system that I could be free. I didn't have to fast and pray for days and days and days and do all kinds of things. I just simply needed to submit it to the Lord and let him speak into my heart. And when I submitted it and he spoke into my heart and he began to show me who I was really supposed to be, it changed my belief system. That's what we're about. Seek the change. Seek the change. And as you seek the change, the power of heaven is released into this earth. It's where we started from in this teaching. Heaven being released into this earth. It being done in this earth as it is in heaven. That happens. Why? Because we sought the change and we sought to allow him to do something different in me. Prophet, you got something you want to add? You look like you're about to come out of your seat. When we engage the change of heaven, it releases multiplication all around us that we can't even foresee yet. We can't even see it yet. I had no idea that the three amigos were coming when I allowed that change to happen. I had no idea Tina was coming when I allowed that change to happen. But what it did was position me for a multiplication beyond anything I could have dreamed of. Did it feel good in that moment? I would be lying to you if I said it did. I had to allow a part of self to die. But when self dies, God is given more space, more room. Remember last year was about making room. We're making room for God. Making some room. Make some room for change this week. God bless you. He loves you so much. Why would we not? I had to throw one more in there, right? Why would we not, when we understand the love that's available, when we understand it's his desire to be with us. It's his desire to delight in us. And he delights in you just the way you are. But how much more can you enjoy it when you come into alignment with him? Thank you, brother. Love you. God bless you.